What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired up. I'm like, Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison, and I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
Yo, it's your boy Nessie Dorilla from the east to the west. You already know who does it best. We fired up on the blockchain with Travi. Let's go.
Yo, what's up? It's G Love, and I'm fired up with Travi.
Yeah. I'm Juliet from the So Cool Girls, and I'm fired up with Travi.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga. I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
I'm Ray Isla, and I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women, and I'm fired up with Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go. I get a little
fired up. Woo! Welcome to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. This is Travi. I'm very excited to bring you this special edition. We've remixed and re-released something very special for you in honor of our friends at Avril 15 celebrating their Season 3 release. Back on Episode 10, we had a full house for the Avril 15 Twitter space, which we turned into a podcast. This one is going to be a remixed version of some of the best of Avril 15, along with our good friend Scotty from the Secret Artist Project, talking all about what led up from the beginnings of Avril 15 all the way to now Season 3. So let's get into it.
Yeah, so me and Tim, we started this project back in November. So it was, I think it was November 26th when we first sat down. And Tim had been planning it for a little while. I know a few people have heard the story already, so forgive me if you've already heard it. And if you don't want to hear it again, then just listen next Thursday on the podcast and you can fast forward it. But Tim and I, so I've known Tim since I was about 13. So over 20 years now, we've been best friends for a very, very, very long time. He's an artist, in my opinion, a very, very, very good one. I wouldn't say great because he'll never let me hear the end of it. He's a very, very, very good artist. And we were sitting around having a drink, and he said to me that he wanted to start an NFT collection. And I thought, okay, yeah, cool. That sounds really good. And little did I know that he was kind of canvassing me for to be a partner in it. I just thought he was just waffling on about some illustration malarkey that I don't tend to pay too much attention to. But it turns out that he was trying to get me on board to do pretty much everything that wasn't the art. So a few pints later, I woke up next morning and he texted me, and I honestly haven't given too much thought about it. I just thought it was just, the Cronenberg talking. And he texted me and said, have you had a chance to look into this NFT stuff? And I said, yeah, obviously. And I definitely hadn't. About 25 minutes later, I'd watched a YouTube video and I thought I was an expert. And then pretty much from then, the 27th, we said, let's give it a crack. That was the inception of it all. I wish I could give you something a bit more professional and a bit more planned, but that is how Avril 15 was born.
Travi and I were kind of talking, and that we had for you is, I read a tweet from you the other day that was something along the lines that you guys had not planned to do a Discord or any of these other things, but obviously you've landed there. What drove you to that? And when was that moment to where you guys kind of wanted to take that next step, or thought you needed to take that next step?
Yeah, sure.
In the process.
Well, I guess to talk about the next step, we probably have to talk about the first step. It wasn't that we didn't think we needed one. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's the honest truth. Underestimated isn't the right word. We were perhaps naive in what we were starting, I think, in a positive way. You know, we went in with blind enthusiasm, and we didn't really know what I think anyone that joins Web3 or the NFT space realizes what a full-time job it becomes. And that if you haven't got the passion for it, then you know you're not going to survive. It's 24/7 almost, and it becomes part of what you do. So our original vision was really, really simple. Well, the original vision, to be fair, I'm talking on behalf of Tim here. I'm not sure he won't mind. He was supposed to be here, but he's got a screaming baby on his chest and he's not settling. So you're stuck with me instead, I'm afraid. But the original vision was Tim's, and he, you know, spoke to me a lot about the NFT space. He's both of us were always into crypto, and we had ties and links to that, and we, you know, we had a good understanding of how that market worked. But when it came to the NFTs, Tim was a lot more advanced than I was, and he said to me that he felt that the space really was going through this sort of almost rebirth of artists coming into it. And this wave of people that he was familiar with and people that he respected were coming into it. And he thought that, and he's very down on himself as an artist, but he said that he thinks that he could bring something that was really high quality to a space that perhaps there wasn't as much of it at the time. And alongside that, he was really keen to explore how the dynamic between like a living, breathing market and an artist could develop. You know, he's got a history in illustration, so he was quite keen to understand what that sort of, well, as we know it now, the Web3 way would be like. So that was kind of how, that was our first step. So back to your
question. What was the timing on that, Nathan? When did you guys get going?
Well, from the very, very beginning?
Yes.
Well, met on the 26th. Tim started drawing 27th of November last year.
Okay.
I'll talk about that, the process as well, if you like. But back to your question, just so I don't lose my train of thought, because I'm terrible going off on a tangent. We never planned on a Discord. I started a Twitter that next day, purely as a method of documenting what we were doing. You know, I'm a bit of an archiver. You know, I've got film rating websites and music rating websites. I like to keep history of things like this. And I only started it because I wanted to just document the progress, and it was kind of be a fun thing that we were going to do. Certainly hadn't planned it to become this project that people for some crazy reason seem to respect and love, you know. So we started talking to people. We started talking to all sorts of different people, and I was talking to people, reaching out, and, you know, without agenda or without any intention of selling anything or trying to, I was just reaching out to people that I thought were fucking cool. Like, I'm not an artist. I have got no experience in this space. So for me to be able to message people that I thought were cool, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I'll be one of the cool kids. So I was just chatting to all these different people who I was really respecting. And it kind of felt that we needed a place for people to gather. That was more what I thought. I thought, you know, we had a lot of people who were interested, a lot of people we were chatting to, but it was all one way. And I just thought that maybe Discord is a place where that exists. So that's how and why that came to be. That was really rambly.
No, that's why you're here. That's what everybody's here for. So I was actually going to say, we appreciate you telling the story. Everyone's got an origin story. And to kind of see the respect and love that, you know, you guys, you and Tim, and the project has, just, and how proudly everybody wears it as their PFPs. See kind of where, or to hear a little bit about where it started, and to where it is and where it's going. I mean, there's so much. You know, Nathan doesn't do a lot of these. This is a very special treat. It's a very special partnership that we at the OG Collective have started. And Nathan, we, you know, absolutely kind of admire the fact that I know it's a little bit late there too, but that you're kind of sticking around with us and telling your story. So never, never, never feel like you're rambling. So, you know, you kind of talked about it was November, and I think your first drop came. It was sort of was it March? Was that the official drop time for season one?
Yes, it was. Season one was March. We released our. Released a 1-1 on Foundation, I think it was end of February, which was the Pink Skies XIs. That was our first ever piece. But yeah, late February and then into March was when we launched.
So, you know, I love hearing about kind of some of the humble beginnings and not sort of the kind of knowing where you're going to go and maybe not even sort of knowing what's around the corner, because you even mentioned it becomes a full-time job beyond what you expect. So what was some of that time like from November through March of, you know, meeting the cool people, coming up with some of the art, getting ready sort of for the first launch? Like, what were some of the things that were going through the heads of some of your team members there?
It was fucking stressful, mate. That's what it was. It was stressful, but in a really good way. So, okay, no, let me rephrase that. End of February, March was stressful, but going back to November, so we started out, the first thing we did was figure out if we could do it, if we could actually do it, like technically, could we, did we know how to do this? Did I know how to do this? So we made a tiny little collection called Two Sad Smoking Girls, which we had no intention of selling. It was purely a proof of concept to make sure that I could do my end while Tim drew. That went up on OpenSea. That was whatever, fine. Some people bought them, which blew our minds. Some people still have them, but that was fine. And then up after that, we were, well, I say we, Tim was kind of building the universe and the character and just drawing and drawing and drawing and drawing. And Tim's a full-time illustrator. He works, you know, he takes on commissions, he takes on jobs every day, all the time. He works, he's one of the hardest working guys I know. He's got three kids, he's got a wife, got a full-time job, and he does this as well. And he was just drawing and drawing and drawing, and he just kept revising until he got to a place where he felt that this was what he wanted it to look like. You know, and we sat down and we back and forthed about references and about inspirations and things that we felt wanted to represent this project, because ultimately it is a love letter to the things that we love. You know, it's a homage to so many different things and so many different movies and bands and lyrics. And it's real. You know, we hope that our personality and our interest come through in what you see on the screen, because that is really what we tried to do. So we just kept revising and revising until we got somewhere, and we were, you know, we were trying to be all professional, and we were writing style guides and making PDFs between us that nobody ever saw apart from me and Tim. And then we just kind of, what I feel like, we found our rhythm, and Tim sent one over, first draft, and I just said, yeah, that's great, like that's really good. And then we just kind of went from there.
And just kind of like thinking back to that time period, man, you know, and it's kind of funny too, because I missed season one, and I still beating myself up over it, because I had like a full-time 9-to-5, and actually one of the things I did very often at that 9-to-5 was I played the lo-fi beats, like the lo-fi hip-hop off YouTube. And every time I see like your that lo-fi beats to chill NFTs to, the one that you came out with kind of back then, it kind of gives me, like, I love the art of it, but it also reminds me of how terrible I feel for for being at work and missing season one.
Tim will be so happy to hear you say that, because that YouTube channel is his labor of love. I looked at the analytics on it the other day, and I think about six people had watched it in the whole month. And I said to Tim, mate, we've got to stop paying for this. And he went, there is no way we're not paying for that. he will run that until the day he's in the ground. This is baby.
Absolutely, something to be proud of. So can you mentioned that there are like some movies and things that inspired you, and I just think because there's so many people here who obviously are collectors of yours and know about what's going on, can you talk a little bit too about sort of what some of those things were? Some maybe anything that comes to mind, some of the movies or the comic books or any of the things that went in, and you don't have to if it's part of the process and you don't want to sort of pull the curtain back that far, but you know, you have a lot of diehard fans here. I'm sure they love kind of anything you can share with them.
No, of course. None of it's a secret. We're certainly not, you know, pulled the curtain back. We haven't got a curtain to pull back. You know, we're pretty two most open founders in the bloody world, I think. But I'll do my best, because obviously Tim is the artist and these are his inspirations. And he really is, that is what he's brilliant at. And I don't impact that. I've impacted very little. So, but what I can tell you is what I know of Tim and the things that I know he loves. So I can tell you that when he was younger, I don't know how young, but Tank Girl was his absolute icon for a very, very, very long time. I think that I think his love for her and those creations forged part of his personality quite deeply, quite young. And if Tim's listening and I'm wrong, then I'm sorry, mate, but that's kind of what I assumed. Obviously, the things that we grew up as kids, so Nintendo, Pokemon, Legend of Zelda, Ghost in the Shell, all those sorts of things that two kids from the late 80s, who were born in the late 80s, would be interested in the early 90s. Musically, Nick Cave, number one, PJ Harvey, Portishead. Tim's like the master of brooding. So anything that's quite heavy and quite dark, you can pretty much include it.
Nick Cave, the theme song from Peaky Blinders. I think that's where I discovered Nick Cave from.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim went to see him on Sunday. That's, you know, he loves him, absolutely loves him. But it's not just specific things, you know. It can be things that come in now, and you know, we've got certain things in the collection that are nods to people that we've met since we started doing this. You know, it's quite a fluid thing. But I without doing Tim a disservice, I don't want to speak too far for his inspirations without him being here. But those things I can say for sure.
Nathan, I think one thing that comes to most people's mind, I assume, definitely comes to mind, is when I think of you guys, I think of artists. I think of not just Tim as an artist, but as I scroll through this room, you know, most of the people I see in here today, and many of the people I see here today, have some sort of tie to Avril. I assume that, you know, partly comes from Tim being an artist. How did you land in this space of, you know, separate from these major projects and more creating your own thing and really have become a platform for, you know, many of the artists we see in here and in the NFT space?
Oh, God. I don't know. What do you think? Why do you think? Because I'm unsure. I've got my ideas, but as an outsider, what do you think?
That's an interesting question, because I don't know if I was around early enough. You guys provide a place that people can go and be themselves and be comfortable and ask questions, and you give guidance with no ulterior motives. I've seen that, so I would assume that's part of it.
That's pretty amazing to hear, actually. I agree with you about, you know, people that we knew before there was something that we were even aware of as the OG Collective, you know, seeing as we're both here. I spoke about this when I did the space with Kate Leper's Lunch, and I sort of said it and I realized I was telling the truth to myself, but we received so much support and kindness from people that we admired and respected, and God, there's so many names I could do hours on it, where they offered us support, they offered us help, they offered us just kindness, and I thought that was what I experienced and what we experienced coming into the space, and we were molded by that, and in turn, that's what we try and give back. I hope that's what comes across, because that is the God's honest truth. We just like, if someone messages us and they've got 70 followers or they've got 100 followers, it doesn't matter to us. You know, we always just try and be nice to people and just show people the same time and respect that we were given when we were trying to launch our own thing. So I don't know. We always just say we just like to draw pictures and be nice to people. And I think that's kind of what's happened. I don't know.
I think so. Nathan and Brandon, I think you guys both spoke to it. I mean, it's kind of just doing the right thing, celebrating the art and the artists without necessarily expecting anything in return.
You know, I first heard, I think, about you through the Avril 15 community. I know you've done a lot of work. You've done some work with Allure there. I really want to hear a little bit about your involvement with Avril and your involvement with Allure. And then let's get into a whole lot of stuff. Some of the things that inspired you, some of the things that brought you to Web3 and what you've been doing with the Secret Artist Project. But you know, I think your affiliation with Avril is really what brought you on my radar. So tell everybody out there, if they're not too sure, if they haven't heard that affiliation yet.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Avril 15 was was really the key for me too in many ways. I had joined the space and you know, I'll talk a bit more about, you know, what I was seeing when I'd arrived on the space, but you know, like when I saw Avril, I was just, you know, awestruck. Yes, I like it, I love it. This is something, this is different. And I joined the Discord, and I was in a few Discords, and I didn't really like it. and Avril 15 was the exception. Suddenly I'd found one that I actually really enjoyed. I liked that the guys were dogs and they seemed really genuine. And the fan art competition actually is just finishing today. They've just announced the overall winner. But I was there for the first fan art competition and I can't really draw very well. and I literally just posted in the Discord like, oh, I'd love to enter, but I'm kind of shit at drawing. And Marlene, Studio Iroda, she said, well, art doesn't need to be drawing. It could be a poem, it could be anything. And I thought, oh, well, I could actually, you know, I've written things before. I could do that. And so I submitted some fan art lore. I wrote like a good few pages of an idea for Avril. Just came up with it one evening while I was trying to think. And couldn't believe it when Nathan contacted me and said that he and Tim were up for having me be the official lore writer for Avril. So I didn't win the fan art competition, but I won something much better. I got to join as the official lore writer, and I've done season 0, season 1, season 2, and season 3 is written, but it still needs to be checked and ideas added by the big man Tim.
Yeah, for sure. I think Nathan and Tim, they know talent when they see it, of course. And you did mention the Discord. I have to say, too, you know, having been involved in the NFT space for over a year now, we've seen a lot of Discords start to dry up. We've seen, if anybody was involved, you know, a year to year and a half ago, there were a lot of people in there. Sometimes they were incredibly overwhelming. But when you did mention the Avril 15 Discord, it does have a bit of a different vibe, you know, and you and I are both, you know, hashtag Disco Studios artists as well. And I do see some commonalities between the Disco Studios Discord and the Avril Discord. And I think some of that is because there's like a bit of like a family bond. Like it doesn't feel to me, you know, like kind of and this, I say this endearingly, it doesn't feel like it's one of those kind of D-gen type of PFP ones with, you know, tens of thousands of people coming and talking floor price all the time and that stuff. It really feels like a home. Like it feels like a family bond for artists. And I completely understand, you know, what your sentiment was about joining the Discord and wanting to be a part of it. How has that changed? How has joining the Avril family helped you sort of transition more? How has it changed you? How has it affected you as you, you know, really kind of got your footing in Web3?
Well, I think I probably entered the space having watched a lot of YouTube influencers through crypto and all the warnings about scammers and stuff like that. So while I was happy to kind of make friends and chat with people online, I was, you know, keeping them at arm's length, you know, assume everybody's a scammer until proven otherwise, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's a bit ironic because I'm not docs myself, although I wouldn't rule it out. But something about the fact that Nathan and Tim had docs, there was a point where I just thought, if this is a scam, they've got more to lose than we do. So, yeah, I think that really, yeah, you kind of nurtured it. And then not just those two, because then obviously the Discord is all the people that are in there, Ghosty, Mizzy, Marlene, you know, we've got such a great group in there. And in Disco Studios too, you know, I think that I think people just felt able to be genuine, and also it has to be something to do with the kind of no shell, no grinding things, because that was just selecting, I think, for the wrong people when I joined the NFT sort of crypto and Twitter. I just thought, nah, that, you know, I felt I had to be false and like really, you know, be a person that be who I wasn't, and sort of trying to sell myself and stuff, and that felt that felt wrong. And I'm sure, you know, I've spoken to many artists and it felt wrong to them too. So I think, yeah, it's changed the space for the better. And you were saying, you know, people disappeared, and some of the original people that I kind of followed maybe very early on before Avril kind of aren't really around now. And it's great that we're surviving the bear together.
And we talk about different artists that we love, and without necessarily saying to one another, like, hey, let's all buy out this collection. It happens so often and so naturally, because you know, whether it's, I see Mr. Werewolf is in here, Avril, obviously, Gordy Ox, Oksana, and obviously with what's going on with Zarina right now, how many of us are kind of in love with her pieces, Brandon? I mean, I just think that's something that we bring. And Nathan, to hear you say, you know, you pay it forward in the way that you kind of receive that love, I feel like that's really, like, that's the essence of what the OG Collective is. Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's probably why there's a lot of alignment and synergy across, you know, the groups, and why we've found ourselves, you know, obviously migrating and buying some of the stuff outside of the art, because the art's fantastic. But, you know, for a lot of us, I think it's always more than just the art. It's sometimes the relationship. It's the, you know, the feeling, whatever, the conversation. You know, there's other things that go into it. And I think there's a lot of, you know, basic, a lot of the same thoughts. And I think one thing I see out of, you know, Nathan, for you personally, is you're extremely humble. You're self-deprecating, which is always a trait I enjoy. You know, and I think in a space that is so ego-driven with these major influencers pumping something and then just trying to sell it, you know, to the same people they're pumping to. Yeah, so I think a refreshing piece to see, and I there's a refreshing piece to that is just, you know, in these large projects, unfortunately, is not always the case.
Crypto Clarence is up here. I know he's a big supporter of yours as well. And before we kind of talk a little bit more about, you know, where season one led to and how excited we are with season two and all the things coming up the pipe. I know Crypto Clarence, Punk Dude, has been here.
Yeah, that's just a legend. That's the only crypto legend should be your username.
Yeah. I should actually go and change that. While we're on to that, I love that we're having this conversation, Nathan. I'm such a huge fan. I have a love hate relationship with your work because I love it so much that I'm probably never going to be able to sell it. I'm here to hopefully try and make some money. But honestly, my Avril pieces are never going anywhere. But that's how much I love your work and what you're doing. I just wanted to jump up quick. I had a question because. Now that I've been in the OG Collective for about 4 or 5 months now, and whenever I have conversations with some of the artists that I'm really passionate about, they're a bit earlier in their journey. They're either just getting into NFTs or, you know, they've launched a collection and really want to figure out where to go next. I'm curious, like, what some of your early learnings were. Like, once you realized that this was going to become something, what are some of the things that you learned along the way where, you know, whether positive or negative, right? Whether it was, oh, we could have done this a bit better, or I wish we had known this earlier. Or maybe we did something really right that really resonated. What were some of the things that you took away from, like, the early days that were some major learnings that you had?
Cool. Like, I can only really speak for our journey and what we did. You know, I wouldn't want to certainly sit here and be the voice of how to make an NFT project, because what we did early on was we identified, again, subconsciously, it wasn't a plan. We just decided how we wanted our project to run and how we wanted to represent ourselves, and that's all we've done from the beginning. So that would be my absolute number one piece of advice to anybody, and this isn't just an NFT conversation, this is in general in life, is you need to know who you are and what you stand for, and you need to make damn well sure that you don't move from that, because, you know, we've been offered all sorts of different things that would have made us a lot of money, things that maybe didn't align with what we were, and we were very confident in saying no to them because we had an idea and we wanted to see it through in the way that we wanted to see it through. So I know firsthand and from seeing it how difficult it can be getting started. Christ, I'm so grateful that we're not starting in this current market. You know, the people that are doing that are the real soldiers, because, you know, you're scrapping for every bit of engagement and vision out there. So I completely get how hard that is. But just do not sell yourself out at any point for anything, for anyone, for nothing. Nothing is worth losing the core of what you are trying to be, whether you're an artist, whether you want to make a utility project, whether you want to have a stand, whatever it is, you just have to commit to it, and you have to be strong, and you have to be willing to say no to things, because if you start saying yes to everything, you're gonna lose the essence of pretty much everything that you're trying to build. I think that would be my best bit of advice. But I'd apply that to life in general, not to get heavy on a Wednesday night.
That was the best answer that I could hope for, man. Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit to sort of what kind of that transition to now, like the season two is like, and maybe some of the things that we kind of can expect that's coming up maybe on the horizon?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, that was a seamless link. You're an expert. Like, that was remarkable. This is... It was great. I give that a 10 out of 10.
Oh, thank you. All right, I'm going to save this recording. Thank you.
So season one, we finished season one, we launched it, it sold out. We were over the moon, you know, we couldn't believe it. We didn't think it was going to happen. Really didn't. And we found ourselves with this amazing group of people that we were just chatting to every day in the Discord, which we started by accident. And it was just such a joy. And then the original plan was, is that we were going to take a couple of months off in terms of season work, because, you know, as I'm sure a lot of you have been through and done, it's a massive undertaking of layers and trial and error and generating an idea, and it's a huge chunk of work. So the plan was to take a couple of months and just do some really cool stuff, some fun stuff that Tim wanted to explore as an artist himself, and just things that, you know, we could try that would break what was starting to become our format that we were building of releases with Foundation Peak Season. And then Tim went and had a bloody baby and blew the whole thing out of the water. So he had a son just after season one dropped, and he pretty much was out of the game for maybe 6 weeks. And then we felt that rather than do what we'd originally planned, it would be important to start working on the next season, because we didn't know how long it was going to take, because obviously he was trying to bring up a new kid and scrambling for time in between things. So we just thought it was best to get our head down and crack on with season two. That was the decision that we made there.
A lot of people are waiting for like markets to turn and stuff like that, but you just kind of seem to be somebody who's like, you know, celebrating your holders, kind of paying it forward, as we mentioned earlier.
Well, if you wait for a market, you could be waiting forever, couldn't you, really? You know, if you back to what Brandon said earlier, yeah, we make money out of this. It's part of our income, you know, it's part of our lives. But it's not the main driver behind why we do it. We do it as a passion project and as something we love. So the bear market had no bearing on whether we did it or not. You know, we didn't change the price because we felt that we had a really nice pricing structure, regardless of what one ETH costs. We were going to set it at the same price because we had no intention of charging people, you know, the fiat price rather than the crypto price. It didn't feel right. So that was the decision around the market, around the sort of rewarding our holders. We could not believe that 150 people had bought something that we'd made from scratch, from sitting around a pub having a pint, to, you know, although we couldn't believe it. So we always knew that season two was going to be bigger, 350 versus 150, and we knew that we would have the scope to be able to say to the people who had like bought into us and committed, you know, and asking someone to part with their money is one of the hardest things you can do, especially at the minute. It's, you know, it's a miracle that people are supporting other people with the way things are. So we always said that the original 150 would automatically get a season two as a chance to mint it as a thank you for just believing in us. That was always the plan. That was spoken about early. And going into season three, anyone who holds a season one and a season two will also automatically get that, because you have to show people the same loyalty that they're showing you. You know, we've got people wearing our pictures as their profile pictures. So it's important to say thank you, and it's important to show them that you give a shit about them, and that you're not, just taking the piss and trying to bleed them dry of every penny they've got. I think that's so important.
It is so important. I wish that more people were like you. I know, Brandon, you have another question coming up, but I do want to celebrate that, man, because that's Brandon, and we talked about it at the top of the Twitter space here. That was the whole point of why I even wanted to do a podcast, because when the market is the way it is, and you see so many people, I hate, pulling the rug out or not being doxxed and just kind of, collecting the mint proceeds and moving to another continent and you never hear from them again. Then you got people like this. Then you got people like Nathan and Tim who are standing up. Doesn't matter the market. They're rewarding their holders. The holders are celebrating them relentlessly. I mean, I know, it's a small community, but you're talking about a small community of some of the most, I guess, celebrated and established like NFT collectors that you can kind of find here. And as you said, they're not shy to wear, your picture as a PFP. So anyway, props to you, Brandon. Sorry for stepping in like that, but we have to give flowers while we can,
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we're doing anything special. I really don't see it that way. I just don't see it. I just see it as doing things right and looking after people.
Because it's rare in this space, unfortunately. So, you would never do otherwise, which is fantastic. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us are jaded because we haven't. That is less common than it is more common.
I guess, and that's a shame. That's a shame.
Travi made a comment about your guys' Discord and being a small community, but still getting this constant and active engagement. And if anybody who's in here, we're in some of these large projects. 6 months ago, those Discords were nonstop to the point to where they're overwhelming. You couldn't even keep up. Fast forward 6 months now, and those same projects get a couple forced comments a day. We go into Avril 15 and, it's constant and it's consistent. I would say, OG Collective for a small group, very, very much similar in that aspect.
We talked about with Avril season one, and we talked about Avril season two. The planning stages and the things coming out after season two, Nathan, I think there's a lot of people here who not only own season one, but also season two. And even for some folks who bought in, and joined during the season two drop, is there anything that you want to talk about in terms of what they can look forward to on what you have coming down the pipe a little bit?
Not much I can talk about because Tim tells me off for getting drunk and telling everybody everything all the time. So I've got to be a bit more careful about what.
Pour yourself another glass, real quick, Nathan. Let's talk.
No, I can't. He sent me a scathing message not long ago, and I promised him I wouldn't do it. So season three is a little way off. I'm not going to pretend that that's going to be anytime soon. It's going to be beginning of next year. Reason being because it's ready when it's ready, and we're not rushing it, and we're certainly not putting a date on it yet, but. Tim's told me what he's planning, and it's massive. It's mad. It's going to be different, and it's going to be very exciting for me to see it all come together. And it's going to be very exciting to see how it's received, because I think it could be incredible.
Well, friends, I can tell you from having seen some of the early drops from Avril 15 season 3. It's incredible. And then some. So if you're not following Avril 15 yet, please check the show notes. Everything is in their Discord right now. All of the sneak peeks. They've matched up some people's favorites to them directly. I mean, what Avril does with their drops is that no stress, no grind feel. And they've just been so consistent with it. So anyway, thank you again to Brandon from my original Twitter Space co-hosting. Of course, Avril with Nathan and Tim. Scotty from the Secret Artist Project. Crypto Clarence for coming up and asking the questions. And everybody who's been a participant in any of our Twitter Space and any of the podcasts that we've done so far. Thank you so much. This is a celebration for our friends Avril 15. Much love to all of you out there in this crazy, mixed up, kind of nerdy, kind of cool, brand new world of NFTs and Web3. Still doing your thing out there. So listen, if you're not following me yet on Twitter, please do so at Mr. Travis, though, MRTRAVISTHO. There are going to be two free NFT drops for you to claim as long as you're paying attention and the claim window is open. It will be yours. All you gotta do is pay a little bit of gas. And thank you to my buddy Meta David for having me a guest on his podcast, The Blockchain Experience with Meta David, for the end of his season of the Dead NFT Artist Society podcast. That's right, he had me as his guest to end his Dead NFT Artist Society podcast, and he will be beginning the Blockchain Experience with Meta David. So I'm very, very pleased not only to have been a guest for the end of his season, but also you will be able to mint our conversation. That's right, his podcast as an NFT. So follow myself or Meta David ETH on Twitter, and you will be able to see how you can claim your NFT of our podcast conversation, and that will be yours for free right there in your wallet. So keep on doing good things in this space. Keep your heads up. It's a crazy world out there, but as long as we do this the right way and we do this together, we're going to do what I always try to do, and that is, of course, bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time, and congratulations, Avril 15. Peace.